as a coach, how do you relate progression to equipment?
Okay, so that's a very good question. The equipment has evolved quite a lot, from lighter materials to springier materials, to the shape of the boards, the shape of the fins. I remember reading when Josh Kerr started bringing the air game to the CT. I remember reading an interview with Rusty, with his shaper. And the interview was something about, as your shaping progressed, have your shapes progressed due to the aerial surfing? And he's saying, or the question was like, how did the shapes evolve due to aerial surfing? And he was saying like the boards became wider on the nose, became thicker, because at the time, and this was like some years ago, so before the full rotation reverses all the time, you know, lots of airs were being landed while going backwards, and they needed some platform there, you know, like to land and be able to keep control and to keep some speed, to keep them from just sinking when they were landing like fins forward. So it was talking about like this, even the foil of the rails, the boards became more forgiving, because now there are so many high impact maneuvers that if you were using those super thin boards, which were also more fragile, and landing these mega airs that these guys are landing nowadays, they would just destroy their equipment, they would sink, because the rails were so thin, it would be easier for them to catch rail and bog, you know, just fall or fail or whatever. So the equipment had to go with the progression of the sport. And at the same time, the new materials, the new shapes, like the shaping machines that that permitted to iterate each shape over and over and over again until they became perfect, allowed for the progression of the designs to allow for more speed, for surfing tighter in the pocket, you know, like, so everything came together at the same time. Isn't it like the tools, the shaping machines allowed us to shape boards in ways that simply was not possible before, because now if you think of probably the most important thing on a surfboard, which is the rocker line, you know, like now you have absolute precision in the way that curvature evolves along the length of the board, mm-hmm. you know? And before, it would be like, oh, I'm sanding my board, or I'm using like the electric planer, I'm trimming the board, and the curvature feels nice or looks nice. When I pass my hand, it feels amazing, you know? The rails, oh, they feel so nice. But now we're talking about, it's not even a millimeter, it's less than that. You know, you can fine-tune every single dimension of the board in so many ways. And because your board that you just ordered is going to go into a file that you can open in 1 month when you smash that board, or in 1 year, or you can just go there in 2 weeks and say, man, I love this board, but I wish it was just a tad thicker on the tail or on the nose or on the rail or thinner or whatever, or more curvature. And I just open that file and boop, there you go. Try it. Oh, this is it. Or it wasn't this. Maybe we need to fine tune some other aspect. So having the opportunity to fine tune everything, I believe, is allowing the surfers to open the book, you know, and just create new turns and create new lines, together with a much better physical condition that they have, because they're all becoming athletes, you know? Like, Mick Fanning started this thing like, I'm not just a surfer, I'm an athlete. And no matter how many beers I can drink in the end of the day, I'm still going to train outside of surfing, because I want to progress and I want to improve my movements and my skills and my energy levels and all of this, you know, my stamina. So everything is coming together. And so I think it's hard to say it was this or it was that, But if I'm going to think of one thing that really changed surfing, was the shaping machine and the amount of customization that it allows.
Yeah. And what you just said is interesting. Like you said, McFanning kind of started this like trend, right? To say, well, I'm not just, I'm no longer just a surfer. I'm also an athlete and I'm going to train, you know, whatever it takes away from surfing for surfing kind of thing. And that kind of leads me to my next question. It's kind of like, how much can you train for surfing to get better at surfing at the gym, for example, or, you know, like on the beach, like away from the, away from actually sitting, laying, surfing a surfboard?
This is a great question. You know, we've been talking a lot about elite athletes, you know, and for them, the reality is totally different because
absolutely. And I want to, sorry. I want to emphasize, like, this is not obviously for the top fives, the top 32s. You know, I'm talking about people, everyday surfer like you and me who want to get better at the sport.
Exactly. That's exactly where I'm going. You know, like we've been talking about these guys because they are the example. It doesn't matter. I'm a surfer, you know, and I'm a surf freak. I'm 42. I started surfing when I was 6 as a boogie boarder at the time. But still today, before I go to sleep and I check the forecast, I see that tomorrow the waves are going to be bumping. I cannot sleep.
Yeah,
you know? this never goes away, you know?
Yeah, and absolutely.
These last few days have been incredible here where I live. And I just, you know, like my mind is just shut off from all the other things in life. And my wife she freaks out, you know, like she said, like, how you look like you're 10, you just think about surfing all day long. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so good that I can do it, you know, because when I was a kid, if someone would say like, one day you're going to be 42 and all you're going to think about is going to be surfing, I would be like, sign me up for that straight away, you know, because it's such a big part of my life and in my general happiness, you know, that still having surfing at this time in life, it's incredible. But going back to the thing, the gym, how can we work, or is it something that is going to change everything, or can we train outside of surfing? Yes, sure. We were talking about the top five. These guys use the gym. They surf a lot, and they use the gym to complement their physical condition and to improve some parts, you know, and probably also a lot to prevent injuries, because surfing is becoming so demanding physically on the top level that injuries are very, very, very real, you know. And so the more prepared your body is, the more stress it will be able to undergo without breaking, because that's all it is. Be it a bone or a tendon or a ligament or a muscle, everything is prone to rupture and breaking, you know. So if you have really good physical condition, the chance of injuries are going to be lower, and that's a huge part, because less injuries mean more time in the water,
which
more
translates to strength, right? So and that's yeah. You get that in the gym.
Yes. Strength and flexibility, you know,
mobility.
Lots of things. Yeah, you don't really need to go to the gym. You can get some things at home, figure out whatever works for you, you know, because, you know, like, I'm going to be honest, I'm a surfer, and my relationship with gyms was always terrible. You know, like, for me, I'm an open space person. For me, the idea of going in a box, sweating with other people, it's something that doesn't really excite me. My wife loves it. Sometimes we're talking, she's telling me like, oh, it's so much fun. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, fun for me is another thing, is go and walk my dog or go on a bike and ride for 30 kilometers, you know, like just over the cliffs, watching the surf. Once again, watching the surf, I live by the ocean. So, you know, but different things for different people. So whatever works for you And working for you, should be something that you can do with pleasure, you know, not as a sacrifice. Because if you're sacrificing yourself to do it, if you feel that, oh, I'm doing this, you know, like I always think of like the people who run like the marathons and the ultras and the Ironmans and all these kind of events. These guys are heroes for me, you know, because I cannot imagine that someone is gonna enjoy running for 40 kilometers. I mean, it cannot be fun. It's suffering. I can imagine how much pleasure you get by overcoming the challenge. But surfing, we surf because it's pleasure, you know, like you're getting all these things happening in your brain. You get like this high because of surfing or snowboarding or other things that you do with pleasure. You're just feeling good of doing it. And running, I mean, you're going to get incredible stamina and incredible physical condition. And once you achieve it, it's going to feel amazing. But I don't really see the pleasure in the act of running, you know, like at least for 3 hours. Running 10 minutes is one thing. 3 hours nonstop, you know. For me, maybe it's real, but for me, I cannot conceive this idea, you know, like doing it for pleasure.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is that for us as surfers, find what works for you. If you love running, perfect. Run, you know. If your thing is bikes, bike it is. If you love the gym, perfect. But you can also have a yoga mattress at home. You do a bunch of stretching. You get a couple of weights or rubber bands, you know, like those elastic bands. You know, just find what works for you and try to spend a bit of time time in yourself. It's not spending time, it's investing time. Because, you know, like I wish I had someone telling me this when I was a kid. And I wish I would listen to my mom when she was saying like, hey, take care of your body. When you get to 30, you're going to feel like 70. And it's true, you know, like my knees, my back, like, it's so bad nowadays. And
yeah.
I just don't care, you know, yeah. Because even after I've had knee injuries and everything, and
yeah.
I get to the beach and it's pumping. And I cannot think of doing a proper warm-up because I'm just so excited. You know, like for me, I'm trying to teach people to do something that I personally struggle to do. You know, it's like I have no mental discipline to make myself do something that is good for me because I look at the weather and I'm like drooling, like, oh, I cannot wait 1 second more. I need to get there.
You know what I started doing, though?
You know, Sunny, you know, you're looking at the ocean and you just think, oh my God, the ocean is going to run dry
exactly.
In 3 seconds.
No.
It might need to be there.
I have this like missing out, this form of like anxiety of missing out, right? This like huge FOMO happens. So what I started to do, because I have really bad hips and, you know, it's because what you said, you know, all these years when you're young, it doesn't really matter. But then as you get older, you know, your hips start playing up, you're getting stiff, you're getting, you know, all these different issues. So and I knew for myself, I needed to get back into like, you know, flexibility training or mobility training, stretching. So I actually started stretching at home before I do my warm up, my pre-surf warm up at home before I go surf, because I know for a fact I won't be doing it, you know, like on the beach.
That's very smart. And in reality, when we move, the thing is like, we wake up, you know, and when we're sleeping, our body is recovering, you know, it's in recovery mode and healing mode and recharging mode and all of this. And then we wake up and, I mean, this is really sad, but the reality is that the moment when I wake up and I get up, my back is so stiff some mornings, you know. It's real, you know, like it's, unfortunately, I'm no longer 15. And like you were saying, when you're like 15, 20, there's no injuries. You sprain an ankle, you know, it hurts. Who cares, you know, like you still go surfing. And in a couple of days, it's going to go, you know, or a couple of weeks, it's gone. But now I'm 40, if I hurt an ankle, in 3 months, it's still going to be hurting. you know, and or maybe for the rest of my life. And this is the problem. Like, and the other problem is that because when you're 20, you don't realize that some things will stay with you for the rest of your life. You don't take care of them, and then it's too late.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You get like those nagging little injuries, you know, like, oh, I have like these tendonitis in my elbow or on my shoulder, or, you know, like these little things that don't keep you from surfing, but they're annoying.
They're
uncomfortable. It's like
absolutely
that little pain that it's always there, like in the back of your shoulder. Every time you pedal, you feel like, feel like a needle is going into it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and in that moment that you're going to, that beautiful wave is coming, and it doesn't mean if it's the bomb of the day or if the bomb of the day is 1 meter, 2 meters, or 10 meters. Your shoulder is gonna hurt in the wrong moment, you know.
Exactly.
And so the better you prepare out of the water, the best, you know. And we've been talking about you were saying about the gym. There's a lot of things that can be done. You know, you can't just do general conditioning, because the reality is, and like we were surfing, saying, we have been talking about professional surfers, but this is a Luex podcast, and Luex is based in Germany, and probably most of the audience for this podcast is going to be like German native. And so possibly or probably, I don't really know which one is the right word, you won't be surfing every day, you know, and maybe you're going to be preparing yourself for your holidays, you know, that or that surf trip that is going to be coming. And how should I prepare for this, you know? So the best advice I can give you is stay active. Active. Doesn't matter what it is, like throughout the year, stay active, because if you're active, no matter what you're doing, you're already you're gonna have an advantage over someone who is doing nothing but sitting all day long behind a desk. You know?
Absolutely.
Your body will be stronger, all your joints are gonna be stronger, you know, and if it's running, it's running, if it's bike, it's bike, if it's skateboarding, it's skateboarding, you know. If it's swimming, great, because you're going to be working your shoulders, which probably in ways that you don't usually work in other exercises. But again, even swimming is not paddling, you know. So there is only so much we can train for surfing apart from surfing, because the best train for surfing is surfing.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
When we're lying on our boards and we have our paddling position, our shoulders are in a totally different position than when we're swimming.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole dynamic of a paddling stroke is completely different from the dynamic of a swimming stroke. But again, the more experiences we give to our muscles and to our brain, the better prepared the body will be.
I think muscle memory is a really good good topic or a good introduction to my next kind of segment, which I think has been getting a lot of noise, and it's really trendy at the moment to train for surf when it's flat, you know, or when you landlocked or you're away from the ocean, and that's surf skates. Like me personally, like it took a long time for me to actually go to the shop, pick up a surf skate and you know, buy one and then try it out, because I was like, well, it's still not surfing. But I have to say, like, the, you know, the last couple of months, like, you know, we had some really good waves, but it's especially in summer here in the Basque Country, it's been flat. You know, we had no waves for
you guys did like
for weeks.
Months, no? Like
exactly.
A flat spell, like, yeah.
So, and that's what I mean. Like during that time, like I really, really started enjoying surf skating because it comes back to muscle memory. I think, you know, like your stance, obviously like it's different, but like your surf stance, your turns, your arm positioning, your shoulder position, your head, I think it's the closest resemblance you get to actually standing on a wave. What do you think as a coach?
I think like everything can be good and bad. Okay.
Yep.
So let's start like from one side and go
okay
to the other end. Skateboarding, snowboarding, even skiing with a parallel stance, we think like, skiing is not going to be good for surfing. I mean, we're all talking about sliding, yeah? Sliding sports, gliding sports. And all these sports have one thing in common, which is we are moving not by our own means. We're not moving our feet or our arms or whatever to make us move. So we have pretty much a static stance and we are traveling without moving our body a lot. You know where,
absolutely.
Is it clear what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So this to say what? Whenever I'm using even like rollerblades, skateboards, skis, snowboards, whatever, wakeboards, like all these other activities in which we are sliding in some kind of way are going to be good. If for no other thing, you're going to be training your brain to get used to the fact that you're gliding and you're moving and you have a specific kind of motion. And our brain gets trained, you know, like all the neuron connections, all these things, you know, like recently I haven't finished it yet because like we've been talking, I'm a judge and I'm a coach as well. So there is at some point there is a conflict of interest because I cannot coach athletes, you know, because if I'm going to be judging, I cannot coach people who I'm judging, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm very limited in what I can do with my coaching side, you know, and it's something that I really like. I really enjoy the intricacies of coaching, but there is only so much I can do before it becomes a conflict of interest. But so I've like this year I've been doing like a. In Europe, right now, what the European Sports Institute is trying to do is that any sport, if you become a coach, you're going to have four levels of coaches, like football. And football for you guys, it's soccer, but for us, it's football. for you guys, no, for you, Sonny.
I've been in Europe long
enough. You've been here for long enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So, football. If you want to be a coach, you start doing like level one and you can probably start with a little grounds and then you have level two and level three. And by the time you get to a big team, you need to have level four. So it's going in every single sport and surfing is a sport as well, which means that at some point we're going to have some level four coaches in Europe. I had the level one, which was all there was, and now I did the level two. I did the theoretical part, and now I need to do like one season of coaching with an athlete. But what I'm gonna have to do is, and this is why I'm not really sure what's gonna happen right now, because I have already asked for the permission from the Portuguese Surfing Federation. I will have probably to choose like either an age group or a category or something that I will not judge for a year, so I can train an athlete in that category, and so I can conclude, I can finish my coaching thing, you know. But as we were saying, the sliding thing. When I was doing this, I kind of lost me from myself for a second.
No worries.
When I was doing the coaching thing this year, we can start training really young as a kid. You know, like the kids, we're talking about like 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. We have all these different stages of learning, and we are learning different experiences. Even the thing when you're learning, if sometimes I don't know how to say in English, if you're right-handed or left-handed, when you're a small kid, you're neither. You're no left-handed or right-handed, you know? You don't have the concept of bilateral, does not exist. This is something that you learn from society. You know, it starts with eating. Oh, take your fork on the left hand or on the right hand. Take the pen on the right hand instead of the left hand. You know, like society kind of imposes or makes us take some behaviors. Because when you're born, you're not born with this kind of lateral concept. And the gliding sports are great because all these experiences that we get throughout our lives, we start developing more one side than the other. We will have the chance to start learning that movement, that lateral movement with skateboards, with snowboards, with wakeboards, you know. The skiing not so much, but the skiing gives you also this kind of sliding motion that is important to learn. And the skateboarding becomes really important in this, and all the other sliding sports become really important. You were saying that you were talking, like, for instance, the skateboards, like the surf skates.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
For me, when I was a kid, I used to have a skateboard, and I wasn't great at it. But again, you would go places, you know, just doing some ollies, some board slides, some, you know, some grinds, simple stuff. But it was still training, you know. And as the surf skates came out, you know, like, I was a little skeptical because the it was a new trend, you know. And I feel like as surfers, sometimes we become a little skeptical with the new things because, oh, this is the new trend, you know, like this bunch of cooks are going to bring new stuff. We don't need this. We just, like, surfing is not that, or it's not. It's all crap, you know. We should take advantage. Can you hear, like, this background noise? Like, my dog here.
It's the dog.
I have my dog here. Yeah, he snores like hell. He's a French, bulldog, and he's just sleeping.
I thought it was cars like driving by, and you have the window closed.
Look. Yeah, there he is.
Ah, I gotcha.
He's just useless. He snores all day long. sorry. Yeah. So when the first times I tried the surf skates, they felt a little weird, but. They're really good, you know? Now the thing is, remember when I said there's good things and bad things?
Yeah, tell me the bad things.
You know, yeah, the things I really hate about them is when I see someone on a surf skate just going with the front foot like this. Just wiggling. And then yesterday, no, because it was quite big. It was like one of these days this week, there was one guy in the water. And he was on a shortboard, and he was surf skating on a surfboard, you know, like, just DJing the front foot, you know, like wiggling. And I'm like, what are you doing? And why is this? Because some people, they probably started surf skating before they surfed. And until you get that kind of motion in your body, you know, like the rhythm.
Yeah.
There's like
compression, decompression. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the whole thing working together, shoulders, hips, knees, feet, you know, like even the stance, you know, people, well, I see this a lot as a surf teacher. When with the beginners, people who come from a snowboarding background, you have kind of a symmetrical stance because you ride switch foot all the time. And even skateboarding, like the original skateboards, a little bit, but more from snowboarding, you know, because the snowboards nowadays, they're almost twin tips and, you know, like, it's pretty much symmetrical. You ride flaky, you ride, you know, and so I see a lot of people with this kind of stance in which, and in surfing, I think this stance is way more functional.
Absolutely.
You know, when you have our back foot, your back foot is a little pointing very slightly to the front of the, to the nose of the board, you know?
Yeah, when your knees, like both knees point towards the nose.
Exactly, so you can knock your back knee a little bit as well, you know? The way you compress and extend gives you a way better motion. So And this is where it can go really bad, because if you, with the surf scan, you learn like that kind of wiggly motion, then you learn wrong and you have to get rid of that in surfing. And surfing is really fun.
It's Which really is hard, easy. Actually, to get rid of a bad habit is really
That's
hard.
That's it, you know, like starting with bad habits is a nightmare, because then, you know, like the challenge with surfing versus, or as in opposite to skiing or snowboarding or skateboarding, is that when you're learning, you stand up, and if you don't fall straight away, you're going to be up like for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then this is going to 10 seconds maybe. If you start getting good, at some point you will start making your way out to the outside and you'll start to experience your first longer waves, you know, like, and then that will turn, a good wave will turn into like 20 seconds. And when you get to the green ones and you start to get the chance to surf a point break with a long wave, maybe you're going to be surfing like for 40 seconds or 50 seconds, and that's going to be a proper long wave. How many, you jump on a snowboard, you go to the highest track on the mountain, and you get all the way to the bottom, and you're going to be riding what, like 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes non-stop, you know, and your muscles, your brain, all these inputs coming straight, you're like just bing, 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 all your neurons just firing, and your brain is learning every movement you do. So any correction you want to do it, you have 1,000 opportunities to correct or to try this move or to try that move. And in surfing, our experiences are super short. There's all chances that we're going to screw up and fall, you know, or that we're not going to paddle properly and we're going to miss the wave. So many things have to happen the right way until we're in a position where we can try to do this turn a little better or this movement a little better, you know, when we're learning. That fast learning curve that you have when you're just learning how to stand up becomes a very, very, very long and smooth curve for the rest of your progression, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's amazing, you know? I think it's also the reason why it's so rewarding. It's because there's so many challenges. You know, it's hard. It's very, standing up is easy. Surfing is hard, you know? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Absolutely. And for me as a coach, this is all these challenges, my biggest challenge as a coach, and the thing I think it's most interesting, like I said before, is allowing or figuring out ways to keep people motivated as they go from that, like, second day of surfing, standing up, or the third day of surfing, I'm standing up, I'm a freaking hero. And they are, because when I was a kid, you were learning on a 6'5 or a 6'3, and you would struggle for 5 months to stand up on a surfboard. You know, I had friends who took like 1 year to stand up on a whitewater wave because they were surfing with a 6'2 and they were like 1 meter 80.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't make sense. Totally wrong equipment. And before you approach the equipment, we started talking and we got lost. We lost track out of it, but we're going to go there. But, you know, like surfing those first 3-4 days, oh, I'm standing up. Oh, this is a piece of cake, you know, it's super easy. And then you go out and you get to the timing of catching a green wave, and then timing of start doing your first bottom turns, you know, without falling on your face or on your back. And then you have, like, you start trimming. Some people think pumping is trimming and trimming is pumping, and it's not the same thing, you know, like all these little things. And it's so easy to just feel like my surfing sucks. I'm terrible. I'm so frustrated. And if you let the frustration grow on you, it's terrible for you, you know, because frustration is probably one of the worst things we can have in life.
Absolutely.
You know? Professionally, you know, in whatever we enjoy doing, if you get frustrated, you lose enjoyment and maybe you're going to stop doing it for, if it becomes too big, you will stop doing it. And if you start doing it, it was in first place because you like it. So
absolutely. And I think
if as a surfer, you can keep the frustration away, you're doing a great job already. You know, like, forget the technical aspects. Maybe you're not the best, but if you're able to keep your people in the best mindset,
yeah,
you're doing an epic job already.